Well, good morning.
Jesus.
Another day that the Lord has made, right? Well, let's just take a moment while this music's playing. Let's just try to settle in our hearts a little bit. Focus on the one who's focusing on us right now. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe even in the heart today, Lord, don't have the strength to get out of bed, Lord. We pray that you would just supernaturally touch them where they are. Yes, you're good, Lord. You're good, Lord. How great you are, Lord. Your greatness, Lord, is something that we truly don't comprehend. But today, let your greatness and your power and your might, Lord, have a great impartation into our hearts. Have a deeper penetration, Lord, in, through any darkness, God. Let your light shine in us. Let your truth, Lord, be exposed and revealed today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Age to age, we stand.
Forklift. It's been roaming around and getting fixed and not getting fixed. Well, he got it fixed. We were presented with a $3,800 bill, which, no way. We went to borrow the money, and the man was very logical, and he said, the way things that my husband sells and everything, there's not enough money to pay all that back, pay the $2,000 plus the $1,800 extra. So my husband kind of gave up a little bit, and he said, I think I'm just going to close down. And then he said, no, I'm going to go ahead. He says, I'm still believing in that miracle. We pulled into the backyard Monday. His phone rang, and he said, we'll deliver your forklift around 10:30, 11 o'clock. We weren't supposed to get it till the $2,000 was paid. And Ken says, okay. And he said, yeah, somebody walked in and paid the $2,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So my husband is loading his trailer, but that was a good sign. And also, we have good news. Cameron here told me about three, 4 weeks ago, my son, you heard that my grandson had cancer. And that's all Mike said. But she said to Gay, I saw the honey and going over his lip. Well, no one knew it was on his lip. And he's been to the doctor, and kind of sounds good. They said it was not the bad cancer. He does have cancer because he neglected to have it seen. But they will be doing surgery, and that is going to be cured because enough people are praying for him. And my daughter pointed out to us, Lord heals them even though they don't believe. And we've got him on pretty much every prayer chain we can get him on. And then my son that has dialysis, he is doing okay. It's he's got to have it 3 times a week. But he is coping with that, and that's kind of a big thing because his kidneys are failing him. But we know that God can heal that too.
Amen.
But thank you for your prayers.
Sing your praise unending.
Oh, Still into love, love.
Thank you, Lord.
So I have a handout. It's not a sign-up sheet, guys. Although we do need to send a sign-up sheet around. But
I haven't done that in a long time.
I know. We used to be the sign-up sheet church. So
we had it pegged.
This is, I have to give credit where credit is due, first of all. I was talking to Joe on Friday afternoon, I think it was. Wasn't it, Joe? And he had brought up the idea of just asking some questions about what the Lord wanted for One Life for in 2018. And I have to again preface that because Joe has had an amazing experience with the Lord and Christine both over the last about seven years now of doing treasure hunting. You use this principle when you do healing rooms on Monday nights. And it's just basically asking the Lord, you know, what he would want to tell you concerning these questions. And so I'll just go ahead and read this, and then you guys can, I'll give you the sheet. But it says, if you would like to participate in seeking the Lord for divine direction and spiritual insight for One Life Family Worship for 2018, please take some time and ask the Lord these questions. Your hearing the will of the Lord for our church is just as necessary as anyone else. So just because we happen to be pastors does not mean that we have coined the market on hearing from the Lord for us as a family. Right. And so this isn't like mandatory, but it is something that I would greatly be blessed. Gay and I would both be blessed. The whole house would be blessed if you're able to take the time and do it. And you don't have to write something each one. Maybe you just get one word from the Lord. And it may seem like odd. Like I was doing this last night, and I got like an odd word. I don't want to share what
it
is right now. So,
don't say it.
I won't. But it's like, I don't see how this pertains to anything. And then hearing what Gay said and others, I said, okay, well, I think I'm not completely off with this word. But so the question, finishing it says, if during your seeking the Lord, you hear other questions that need to be addressed, please write them down as well. So if you're saying, I think, Pastor, the Lord wants us to ask this question as a group too. So, and then, please turn these back in if you do participate. Again, this is not mandatory. And your input is valued highly. Thank you very much. So the questions are, what do you want for One Life? And the you is him. What do you, Lord, want for One Life in 2018? What does 2018 mean for One Life? And that would be Lord. And what are some key points you, Lord, want us to cover in 2018? And then just for a wild card one, what does 2018 mean for the body of Christ as a whole? So you may have a prophetic word for the entire body of Christ, you know, and you'll go on a speaking tour after you get it and everything. So, all right. What? Oh, you'll split them up. There you go. How's that? Oh, that's an empty page. There's several empty pages.
Well, you just made Zeke's job harder.
I know, right? Which is which? There's just, they're all the same. All the same. Zeke's going to, you're going to?
Go ahead.
Okay. And don't think that you can't hear from the Lord. Okay, awesome. Don't think that, you know, just because, you know, you may be fresh on this whole scene of this Christianity stuff I'll give you guys one just in case. Make it look official. I have three. We'll just go for it, okay? Thank you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let me get my coffee here. So on Wednesday night, a few of us gathered together, Herman, Jesse, and myself, and we were just at a Starbucks having some coffee, and there was nothing particular that we were going to talk about, so I just brought up one of the passages that was in my one-year Bible reading. And I ended up just kind of reading that, and then we talked a little bit. And during our conversation, as I always do, I started getting on the idea of, you know, what it means to, you know, to seek after the Lord, what it meant for me, you know, in the past, and what it means now. And so during it, I ended up saying what the title of today's message is. And this, I wish I could play the song, but I don't know if it would necessarily be appropriate. Okay, I've got to get to the message here. So I'll just basically just use the main key line from it. But I told them, I said this. I said, you know, I've had a relationship with the Lord where my relationship was based on how much I knew about God and how much I knew, you know, about him in a way that was from the Bible and from my experiences. And it seemed like the more back then that I knew about him, the more I read, the more I felt like I had like started coming to I don't want to say like a full completion, because I knew I was going to, you know, go to glory and I was going to receive his grace and I was going to, you know, be transformed. All those things that are part of the, you know, the ascension process when we leave this earth, whether when we're caught up in the air with a mighty shout, you know, or when we're, you know, put 6 feet under or whatever it is, you know, when we transition from this life into the next. Hi, good morning. And so I said this, I said, you know, this is bottom line, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And so that's today's message, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Now, some of you may say, well, that's a song. And that's what Jesse said, that's a song. And I said, yes, it is, but it rings true to me. So Jesse, being the music aficionado that he is, because he really is, he's got like massive amounts of library to the place where his phone has to be super big to even hold a small portion of it. And so he said, he started playing the song for me by YouTube, Bono singing it. And I'd heard the words and I'd heard some of them before. And, you know, frankly, when I would like hear it, you know, on the radio and, you know, not really listening to those channels, but being somewhere where it's playing, I thought it was like some kind of love song or something like that. But as I listened to the words, I said, well, that was interesting what he just said. And Jesse said, yeah, he just said that. So I got the lyrics and I started reading it. And so believe it or not, that has been like my worship song this week. I have been just saying, you know, still haven't found one. You know, I'm just singing that song, you know. And Tim's like, are you still singing that song? And so let me get to the message. First of all, I think this picture is really good. You know, where are you, Lord? Somewhere. And, you know, you can be on a mountaintop experience, but you can still be searching. And I think that's something that, for me, when I was on a mountaintop experience, I would settle for the mountaintop experience. And then the next thing I know, I had a down experience. And so, now, this statement, I believe, might at first sound confusing to Christians. Well, you haven't found what you're looking for? I mean, haven't you found Jesus? Haven't you received salvation? Right? Haven't you received the transformation from the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of the Son of his love? Absolutely, I have. And so I could say I found that, or he's found me. I can say that. But there's something that is still missing. And I, you know, frankly, I don't know. And I know this could be like challenged biblically, but I don't know if I'm ever going to be fully satisfied about what I know of God. Because it says the heavens of heavens can't contain him. So I think, and it's exciting to know, I'm always going to be able to grow in Christ. I'm always going to be learning about who God is. Just like the angels who surround him and fly around his throne and say, holy, holy, holy all the time, are saying, wow, you're amazing. They're not saying it because they're on, you know, a repeat cycle. You know, okay, just set them for repeat and they'll keep going, holy, 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 so I can hear. No, they're saying it because they're being amazed every time they round him, every time they see another facet of our God, our Father. Isn't that amazing? So I want to be like that. And even though the statement might be confusing at first, I think it's something that all of us need to work out in our heart, that we can be searchers. We can be seekers continually. And, you know, because God says, you know, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. Right. And so you can say, well, I found him. But guess what? You start seeking again, you're going to find another facet of him. I see mm-hmm. You have something to say.
Well, a lot of times, that we were talking about this on the way home from the airport the other night, that a lot of times as Christians, and it used to be all the time that this was the fact, that when you received salvation, you received everything that you needed. Like, salvation was the thing. But really, salvation is the key to the door of God. Like, salvation gets us to unlock that door, but actually discovering all about God.
And Christ is, being the door.
Yes,
the very door.
Is what it's all about. That is the journey. That is what... And we think we arrive when we have salvation. And that's just the bare cusput of what it's all about. And I know for me, you know, I went to Bible college. I was in church my whole life almost.
Leading women's groups and pastoring.
Yeah, all of that stuff. And I thought to myself, this is just getting harder and harder, and it's getting harder and harder because I'm doing a lot of my own strength. Like, I'm performing. God doesn't want a performance. He's seen everything there is to see and knows everything there is to know. You cannot do anything more that God has not seen. But he doesn't care about performance. He cares about our hearts.
Yeah.
He cares about our longing. He cares about what we really need for us to fulfill everything that he has for us.
Amen. I love that salvation is the key that unlocks the door to the habitation of God. Yeah. And that's Jesus being the door. That's what he said. So let's look at some scriptures just so you don't think Pastor Mike's is nuts today. Maybe other days, but maybe not today. First scripture, Philippians 3:12-14. So Paul's saying, not that I have already attained, or I have already, you know, reached this pinnacle, or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. I think this is an interesting concept because Paul is understanding, and, you know, Paul of anybody should be able to say, wow, I've attained some stuff, you know, I've matured, you know, I don't know how many churches he started or how many individuals that he raised up as leaders in the body of Christ. I mean, probably too numerable to even count, you know. It's not just, you know, Timothy and a few others. I mean, I'm sure there were others that when he laid hands on them, he set them forth. And so he had all these credentials, so to speak, but he realized that he hadn't attained what Christ had laid hold of him for. And so he had the goal that I'm going to try to lay hold of. I'm going to press on to lay hold of which God or Christ Jesus has already laid hold of me. And so again, last week, what did we share on it? It's all God. For those of you who weren't here last week, it should be on the internet today. It's all God. And it was about that there's really nothing that within ourselves we can take credit for ourselves.
Right.
Paul said that all sufficiency that I have, all my sufficiency comes in Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything that I have, everything you see, everything that I am. If you say, wow, that was amazing, you know, Pastor Mike, that message, that was so good. You are such an amazing orator. I'm here to tell you, that's not me. That's Christ in me.
Right.
And if there be any good that you do, anything that you bless others with, it's God in you working.
Right.
And so we learned that last week. And so Paul, again, is saying, Christ has fulfilled everything he needs to fulfill in me. He's laid hold of me. He's apprehended me. Now I'm trying to apprehend and laid hold of what has already been set apart for me.
Right.
And this gulf between the apprehending and the state where I'm at is basically my mind being renewed, my understanding being enlightened, my eyes being opened so that I can have the truth exposed to me. And that there would be a radical transformation of the way that I think. I just filled in a lot of blanks for Paul. But brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Can that be probably a key for us, I think, of moving forward?
It needs to be.
It needs to be. Because when you remember the things from the past, most of the time, they end up tripping you up. Unless you're remembering memorials, things that God has done for you, things that he's brought you out of, delivered, healings, revelations, love, all those things. But most of the time when we're needing to forget those things which are behind, it's because they're entangling us. Whether it be our own failures, mm-hmm. Anybody? Own failures, weaknesses, even successes. If we remember our successes, then we're going to compare them to maybe our condition at this time. And it may not look like a success. But maybe 10 years down the road, it will have looked like a mm-hmm. success because we'll have some hindsight. And we can say, oh God, that's what you were doing then. I wasn't just in the desert walking around with just, you know, a loincloth. I was actually clothed in your glory and you were working that out in my life. But I couldn't see it. My eyes were blind.
Or I was so deep in the midst of it, I couldn't see.
Yeah. So forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. Let's all just do this. Let's just reaching forward. Yeah. Maybe you need to do that a little bit this week. Reach forward. Say, God, I'm going to reach forward just by faith. I'm going to reach forward to what you have for me. I'm going to press towards that goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, Paul, you're talking about an upward calling. How much more upward can your calling be here on earth? I think he's talking about something that transcends this life. He's talking about something that is attainable only through the empowerment of God. And it's that personal thing that we're talking about. I don't think this is accomplished in any amount of ministry that you are able to accomplish here on this earth. That is not where this is going to come in. Or how many individuals you've led to the Lord, or however you want to put it. This is not about what you've done here. This is about what's happening inside you to transform you into being like him.
I don't think we'll ever be satisfied until we're unsatisfied. Think on that.
Yeah.
Think about that. Because a lot of times when we settle, when we just say, oh, I'm good, I'm great, I'm that's great. I don't need any more. I'm happy. That's when we're in dangerous, dangerous territory. Because if the angels who are around the throne 24/7 are seeing new facets of God every time they ring around, we have something to learn. If Paul, one of the writers of the Bible, is saying, I haven't attained, but I'm going to reach forward, then who are we to say, oh, we're good, got it, we're fantastic? Because we're not. And so when we are not satisfied, I think that's when we'll be satisfied, because we'll be realizing that I just want more of God. I just want more of God. I just want more of God. However that looks. And it may not look the same as everybody else. You know, it's really funny because we are so terrible about comparing ourselves to other people. God does not compare us to other people. I have an identical twin. We may look a bit alike and you know, have been from the same parents and all of that, but we are not alike. We are two different people. And God never looks at each one of us as being, you know,
cookie cutter
stamp. Yeah, exactly. So we have to be very careful that we're never satisfied, or that we ever settle, because God doesn't want that for us at all. He wants us to continually, as Paul said, be reaching forward for more and for more and for more.
Amen. So Jesus was speaking to somebody in Luke, and this is about not looking back. These were a couple of individuals who said, "Lord, you know, we're gonna follow you. We're gonna be your disciples." And so another one was saying to him, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go say goodbye to my family." Seems like a valid point, right? But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Now, I don't know if Jesus was specifically talking to him about he can't say goodbye to his family. I think he was more addressing an issue with the man's heart that Jesus saw in his heart. But the point being is that you can't move forward when you're looking back. I mean, you can move forward, but it can be very, very difficult. And it can also be detrimental because you can end up crashing into people. Has anybody been going down the aisle looking at something and you're not looking forward when you're pushing a cart, you know, grocery cart?
I did that last night and almost knocked a lady over.
There you go.
Really bad.
There you go. So when you're looking at something, don't walk. But the point being is that you don't see where you're going. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord obviously is the one that is going to be what we're to look at, you know, setting our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that we're to look to. But the point is that we can't look back and move forward at the same time. Psalms 42, 1 and 2. This is a psalm that probably you maybe sang this song, but it says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When shall I come and appear before God?" That's a hunger to appear before God. And I think that question can still be a valid one in our hearts. And I don't think the answer has to be when we die. You know, because you ask some people, "When are you going to appear before God?" "Oh, when I die." Well, absolutely. I mean, when you pass this life, you're going to appear before God. But what did God mean when he said, "Come boldly now before the throne of grace"? Do you think that's in front of the Lord? It is. So, but when shall I come and appear before God? When can I see your face? David said, "I agree with the statement that I want you to seek my face. Lord, your face I'm going to seek. I'm going to seek after you." All right. Here's Paul talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12. "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." Here's this again, this reaching forward, but laying hold of something to which you also were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. But this laying hold, I believe, is this: I'm still not satisfied. Still haven't received. I'm still looking for something. What's the line? Gotta get it. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. In other words, there's something more that I can receive from God. Now, again, this is this paradox, because I want to receive more from God, but the Bible's very clear that we have the fullness of God. He's in us. Everything that we need is inside of us. So what we're laying hold of is what's already been laid hold in us. What we're laying hold of is already what's been planted inside each and every. When you say yes to Jesus, Holy Spirit comes and takes residence. You have all of God in you. Holy Spirit is not in you with just like this. "Well, let's give Mike Lindell a little drop of Holy Spirit. Let's give Gaylene a little." Well, she'll give a little more. She needs to do this for some people. So give you a little bit more Holy Spirit, or give Cameron a little Holy. I mean, does that even make sense that Holy Spirit would be divided among us? No, if you have Holy Spirit, you have all of Holy Spirit. Now, who would agree with me? If we have all of Holy Spirit, we have all of God.
Yeah.
Right? So if we have all of God living in us, does that mean that we have everything that God has already inside of us?
It does.
It does. So what are we laying hold of then? We're laying hold of what is already in us. We're coming to the place where we come in a level of truth that we're made free. And the more we become free, the more we're like Jesus. And the more we're like Jesus, the more we're like mature sons and daughters. And we live a life then that isn't just imitating Christ, but we live a life that is fully empowered by Christ. I mean, how many of you like read stuff that Jesus did and said, you know, I need to go out and try to do that. I need to go to try to imitate what he did, you know, and maybe you're going to go up to, you know, somebody that's lame, you know, and grab their hand and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I guess Jesus didn't say in the name of Jesus. He just said, take your mat and walk, you know. So take your mat and walk. And, you know, by faith, some people have had that happen. But I believe that there's a place that we can get to where it's not like, oh, Lord, please let them... Especially if I try to pull them out of a wheelchair, please let them come to their feet and not fall on the ground. No, it's like there's a confidence because we are fully aware of who is inside of us, just as he was. He knew that everything he did was what the Father was showing him to do. And we can come to that place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I finish that or did I get... yeah, I did. Okay. So here's Abraham in Hebrews 11. And Abraham is the father of faith. He's known as the father of faith because he was the first really one of the family of the Israelites that was set apart, that was called out of his family to go and to be set apart and to be his own nation. And his son Isaac then had Jacob, and Jacob ends up having the majority of the kids. But Abraham was believing for something. He was still looking for something. What's that kind of, I don't know what I'm looking for. He still hadn't found what he was looking for, and that's communicated in Hebrews 11, 9 through 10. And even when he reached the land God promised him, so even when he got to the land of Canaan, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So even though Abraham had received this promised land that God had promised him, he was still looking for something that was beyond the physical. He was looking for a city with eternal foundations. Mm-hmm. He was looking for something that was designed and even built by God. No man would build that. So he was still looking for something. He had not found what he was looking for.
And some of us settle for the tent.
Yeah. Some have settled for the cities that are built by human hands.
Human hands, mm-hmm. Right. Hmm.
Your hmms are so deep.
I'm sorry. Just thinking.
Does anyone have anything to share here? Any input? Okay. We'll see how it goes. Philippians 3,
7
through 11. So this is quite a bit. But what things were gained to me, these things I have accounted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now this is the scriptures before Paul says, I have not apprehended it. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So if we go back to this, we see that he's saying, yet indeed I also count all things loss. In other words, they're behind me. They're not ahead of me. They're behind me. I count them as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then he says in 10, that I may know him. So this is what we're talking about here. we're talking about knowing God in such a way, the one that's already fully inside of us, knowing him in such a way that we are in the power of his resurrection, and we're in the fellowship of his suffering, and we're even being conformed to his death. Now, the fellowship of his suffering and the conforming to his death, power of his resurrection, I mean, come on, most people, yeah, power of his resurrection, the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead quickens my mortal body. I mean, we can all jump on that bandwagon, right? But notice fellowship of his sufferings and the being conformed to his death. So I believe that the only way that you're going to come into alignment where you want to know the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death is by truly knowing him. That as we get to know him, then the fellowship of his suffering is not a bad trip. It's part of being identified with him. What?
The journey.
It's part of the journey. Or being conformed to his death. It says that we have been crucified with Christ. And I've shared this before, but I was taking communion one day and the Lord let me see through his eyes that I had been crucified with him on the cross. That it wasn't just a symbolic reference in the Bible that I'd been crucified, but literally I had been crucified. When I identified with his death, I identified with his crucifixion, not just the fact that he died. When I identified with his burial, I was buried with him. And baptism is another representation of that. But, you know, we're not just Christians in 2018, Sunday the 14th. Somehow, some way, we're identified with Christ back when he was doing the work on the cross. Not only that, it says that we were predestined before the foundation of the world in Christ. Now, you go figure that one out. Before the world was, we were predestined in him. There was already at work in Christ of you and me. And if you want to make it personal, there was already at work in Christ of you. Before this world, before anything was here, before the ages started, you were a thought in God's heart. You were predestined with actually works to walk in, to have a life, to be. And that's the one that we're getting to know. That's the one who knows us fully. And I don't believe that it's just when we see him face to face, when we die, that we get to fully know him. I believe there's glimpses that we can receive now that will transform us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have a thought, but I'm hoping I can actually verbalize it. But before you and I were married and I was at another church and was in ministry and all of that, I thought everything that I heard that, you know, that was my journey in God, that, you know, everything that I learned Sunday to Sunday or Thursday study or whatever, that was my journey in God. But recently, what God has revealed to us in us, makes me know that I was depending on man for my growth, and I have to depend on God's word and God for my growth. It's okay for us to sit up here and say things and read scripture, but you are responsible for your growth in God. You really are. And the reason I'm saying that is because I feel like I wasted so much time back then, even though I know it wasn't wasted. It just feels like it was, because I could have been here a long time ago, doggone it. You know what I mean? And am I making any sense? It's like we have to be so very careful that we are as involved with God as possible and in the word and growing from that, because what God is in me is not the same as what God is in Ruby or God is in Tara. He's different for each one of us. And so to have one person particularly standing in a pulpit or giving a word or a teaching, they can say, you know, do this, do this, do this. Here's a good 3-point sermon, but it may not be, it has to be individualized. We have to get it to the point where we are responsible, where we understand that, okay, God, you know, when I stand before you, I'm not going to have this person or that person or that person standing behind me. It's me and it's you. And what I really thought of you and felt of you and knew of you and learned of you and received of you, I'm responsible for that. Nobody else. No pastors are going to be standing behind me that fed me. No people, it's going to be me and God. And I'm so responsible for that. And we tend to let Sunday to Sunday be our kick in the pants, so to say. But God is saying, no, come on now. You hear just like anybody else hears. You know just like anybody else knows. I speak to you just like I speak to anybody else. You may be really mad at him at this point in your life. There may have been some really harsh things happen. And I have to admit, over the last 2 years, I have been excruciatingly mad at him. You know, and not because I had never experienced grief so deeply as through the loss of both my parents and my little auntie and my other auntie and friends and, you know, everything. I'd never been through such deep grief. And it's like, God, you could have spread this out a little bit even, you know, give a care, like, you know, but there was purpose in the reason why I was feeling and experiencing all of that grief when I was experiencing it. And nobody else was responsible for me but me. Right. And I'm like, you know, oh boy, babe, I'm glad you're hearing from the Lord because I'm so not, like, you know what I mean? But that's not his job. His job is not to get me to heaven. His job is not to make my relationship with the Lord any closer. His job is to be the man that God called him to be, the spiritual leader of our home. And he called me to seek him. Search for him with all my heart, with all my soul, with everything that's in me. And I can't say I've done that. Always. There have been times when I've just, you know, yesterday's meal or the meal that I received 6 months ago, I was still kind of nibbling on. Shame on me, you know. But thank God, he's like rang every bell that I have, and more growth is happening. And if we can say that, if we can say that truly in our hearts, more growth is happening in me, we're in a good place. When you're not being tried, when you're not being, messed with, let's just say, that's a dangerous place to be. It really is, because it's like you're not even worth anything to the enemy, let alone God. Do you know what I'm saying? And to be messed with is hard. It's really, really, really hard. But you guys, God's grace is sufficient. It really is. It is enough. And my favorite portion of scripture is where it talks about he is my portion forever. Like, I don't need any more. But I want more. And the thing about it is that my portion allotment could be bigger. I'm the one that chooses how big it is, not God. But he wants to be that for us. He really does. But it's not our responsibility for anybody else but ourselves. We have to take responsibility for us.
I will say this, that when you said shame on me, I don't want to say that that's not the way that God sees you.
I know.
God does not see you in a shameful way.
I know.
Oh, I'm just saying that because of everyone. And that, again, even though you may feel, and all of us may get into this situation where we don't feel like we're advancing for whatever reason, because of grief, things in our lives. But again, remember, it's God at work in you.
Yeah.
That even during those dark days when you didn't feel like being spiritual, that he was at work in you.
Yeah.
And he was hit to do and to will of mm-hmm. his good pleasure. And you continued to have a yes in your heart.
I did.
You continued to say, Lord, help me in this mess that I'm in. Help me in this state that I'm in. Help me in this lack position that I feel like I'm in, that I don't have anything to give or anything to impart to anyone, you know. And the thing is that the whole time you were thinking that you were not sufficient.
Yeah.
And he says, that's right, honey, you're not sufficient. It's my sufficiency in you. So I just take that as a learning moment. But I hear you, what you're saying. And part of that, again, is our old mindsets, isn't it? What?
Said you spanked me in front of everybody.
Oh, no, I didn't spank you. I tried to encourage you.
No, that's good. I know exactly what you're saying.
Here we go.
Baby.
1 John 5:20. We're at 4 minutes in counting. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. So keep this in mind. The Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. So he has given each and every one of us an understanding to know him. So what does that mean? Why then don't I know him, Pastor Mike? It's because we're leaning, as Proverbs 3 says, on our own understanding, not his. And so when we lean on our own understanding, we then, I guess for lack of a term, trap or hinder us from utilizing the mind of Christ, his understanding. Mm-hmm. And so if he's given us the ability, I'll put it that way, to know him, then every single one of us here should not have any excuse, you know. And it's not shame on us, but it is the fact that life keeps us from being able to see who we truly are. That the natural life has a way of being so blasting in your face that you cannot keep in your own heart and mind who you are as sons. That's why Paul said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. I'm praying that those eyes would open up, that you would get the idea in your heart that you are called holy, pure, godly sons of God. I mean, I'm filling in blanks, you know, when he's saying that you would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. The riches isn't wealth in earthly terms. It's that we have the God of all gods dwelling in us. Yeah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the equipping of God that isn't just so that we can be great ministers, but that we can live with the godliness. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Mm-hmm. Right? There's nothing that we don't have. We're not lacking. We're not lacking anything except for what we don't know. Then we lack it.
That's why it's important for us to be in the Word and learning and hearing from God. And I mean, our growth needs to be our choice and it needs to be our responsibility. It really does.
It's like this, folks. We've all been handed a checkbook. No better than that. We've all been handed a debit card. Hold up your debit card. We've all been handed this debit card. And some of us start using the debit card. Because you know what? God gave it to us, so it must be pretty good. And some of us, you know, are saying, you know what? I'm going to go buy a coffee with this debit card. So they go to Starbucks and they clears. Oh, man, okay, I got a coffee. That's pretty good, you know. And then that night you go have a meal and you try the debit card, hand it to the waitress, and like, oh boy, I'm like, what's it gonna do? You know, and so over the years, you start to learn more and more. Well, this debit card, well, I just bought a car with this debit card. This is pretty good, you know. And so we get to the end of our life, and we have this mansion, we have this house, we have all this stuff because we realize that this debit card is pretty without limits. But we get to heaven, and we have God ask us, did you ever look at the balance? It was unlimited. And even what we thought we used in great proportions was only a small drop in the bucket. And that's how it is with God living in us. Mm-hmm. That we are that's without so lack. We are without anything. And I mean, I say that in sometimes in a seemingly impoverished state because I want so much more.
Yeah.
Because I know so much more about him now and who he is. But we can't look at ourselves in the mirror and identify who we are. We can't look at ourselves in our bank account and identify who we are. We can't look at ourselves in our failed businesses or relationships and identify who we are. The only way we identify who we are is by the Holy Spirit, which it says the Holy Spirit confirms in us that we are sons of God. Mm-hmm. And that's who we are. We're sons. You are female sons. I'm a male son, but we're sons. I mean, we are the children of God, and that is our identity. And if we would get that truth by using God's understanding, we would be miles ahead in our walk with Him.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, does anyone have anything that's been burning in your heart during this, or want to correct me or anything like that? I'm open for correction at this point. Did I go heretical, Jesse? Jesse's always my like. Okay. Usually he's texting me, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm kidding. He never does that.
Can I read this last scripture?
Yeah, absolutely.
2 Peter 3:18 in the New Living, it says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to Him both now and forever. Amen.
Grow in the grace.
Just grow in the grace and knowledge.
And knowledge. Grace and knowledge go together.
Mm-hmm.
Supernatural empowerment goes with the knowledge of God. Amen.
But it doesn't say whether you must grow by listening to your pastor. This is, again, it's a personal calling to us as individuals in God.
Right.
Yeah.
We're accountable for what we teach. I mean, if we teach
heresy,
things,
yeah.
If we teach things purposefully to throw you guys off and to benefit ourselves and to, you know, to what would seemingly be line our pocketbooks. Obviously, we're not doing that. But, I mean, to cause you to stumble and fall, we'd be accountable for that. But You're accountable for the truth that's been deposited in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you've been given a gift when someone comes up and shares something with you that you'd never heard before, and you get the witness of the Holy Spirit that this is for me, this is an encouragement for my heart. You're now accountable for that seed that's been planted in you. Are you going to let it produce fruit, or are you going to let the enemy just come and rob it from you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, guard our hearts with all diligence, For out of it proceed the issues of life, the Bible says. Okay, so did we just stop? Oh, you, okay. Does anyone have anything to share this morning? I don't see any hands, no nothing. Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for this day. And I thank you, Lord, that you are at work in every single one of us, Lord. And that even though we can't see it, Lord, sometimes we do see it, but sometimes we can't see it, Lord, because of the overwhelming issues of life. Lord, by faith today, we're going to believe. We're going to reach out, Lord, and we're going to lay hold of you because you've laid hold of us. Lord, you have put all of you in us. You have placed every single thing that we need to live for you here on this earth, and all the godliness that we need, Lord, to live for the rest of eternity. Lord, it's in us. So, Lord, we pray that there would be a new knowledge, a new truth, that truth would be exposed in our hearts, Lord, so that we could be freer in who we are in you. Lord, I pray that any lies of the enemy that he's spoken over anyone here today, anybody battling with a self-image, Lord, I pray that that would turn into a God image. Lord, I pray that that would turn into an image of Christ, not their own image. Lord, that they would realize that their fallacies are not who they are, that their failures are not who they are, and their successes, Lord, are not who they are. But you, Lord, are who they are. God, we want all of you just as you have all of us. And we just release now, Lord, by faith, into our lives, Lord, your full work. And Holy Spirit, when you speak to us, help us to be obedient. And if we're not obedient, please continue to communicate. And forgive us when we're not. Forgive us when we're not able to follow through with your requests. Just help us be successful believers, Lord. As Alan Higgins used to say, help us be believing believers. Mm-hmm. That we believe what you said and we follow through with it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So again, I know you guys probably forgot about already. You know, maybe some of you used to spit your gum in. I'm just kidding. The point being is that if you feel that your heart is being drawn to do this, you know, if you have any questions, you can call, you know, like, what is this? And do not feel disqualified. You are fully qualified to hear from God.
Yes.
And I can tell you that what you get will be greatly considered. That this is not, oh yeah, it's like, because I believe any one of us here could hear the next big move that God wants us to do. I mean that with all my heart. Because he wants you to know how much you're loved. And sometimes that comes in hearing him and seeing what he told you being fully implemented. Oh gosh, God does speak to me. So just be encouraged and know that he is at work in our midst right now. Something is going on. There's like an activation that is taking place. There's an overflowing that's starting to happen. The banks of the river of the Holy Spirit are going to start to overflow in this place. And I believe that's going to bring healing. That's going to bring truth. And that's going to bring deliverance to some. But most of all, I believe that's going to be the ability to be fully anchored in his love in a way that nothing the enemy brings will be able to stop what God does in your life. Amen. Amen. And yes, thank you. Up front, if you guys are good, Joe and Christine will be available to pray for anybody that has any sicknesses, diseases, any needs. That would mean financial. I mean, you guys are open for anything, right? Amen. Pretty much. All right. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And thank you for coming here and adding your faith to the faith of this house. Faithfully. Amen.